It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe.
I'm a survivor.
I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Welcome to the Illini Choir Podcast. Jeremy Warner, Derek Piper here to recap an Illinois basketball 103-65 win over Monmouth. What a performance by Terrence Shannon Jr. Felt bad for Monmouth. He's too big, too fast, too strong. He goes off for 30 points, 20 in the first half, 9 of 14 shooting. Another great performance off the bench. Jaden Epps, 21 points. Dane Danger, 15 points. But Derek, I'll be honest with you. I don't know how much we learned tonight because Monmouth was not a very good opponent. But I think we're seeing an Illinois team that's starting to gel. Offensively, I thought they moved the ball incredibly well. Got off to a great start, 8-0 before the first couple minutes. We're going to break down our thoughts on Terrence Shannon Jr., how good he can be. Sky Clark and Jaden Epps having really good games, last couple games. And then some performances that weren't so great. And, of course, we'll preview a big weekend because we're heading to Vegas to cover two big games for Illinois basketball. But overall thought about Monmouth win here.
On the Monmouth note, they'd look more in place at the Centralia Holiday Tournament than they did tonight on this floor. Sorry to do that, but in terms of Illinois, I mean, as good of an offensive showing collectively as you could have probably hoped for. 63 points in the first half. The way the ball was moving, the fact you had so many assists, so many different guys were making that extra pass, and you hit 14 threes. We talked about in a couple of these post-game shows not having the three-point numbers that you would have expected for Terrence to hit four, for Jaden Epps to hit five. That was really good to see. And Dane Danger showed up once again. We'll talk about Terrence. Terrence is a dude.
Yeah, let's just go right into it. This guy is so big, so strong, so fast. We were just talking before we came on here. I think he's the best guard in the Big Ten. Like, some of these freshmen coming in can be really good, but we kind of looked at trying to do the all-Big Ten teams before the season. It's hard to find guards. Like, people are putting Jalen Pickett first team. He's off to a great start, but Terrence Shannon looks like an NBA wing. Calvin Booth, the Nuggets GM, was here for the first half tonight, and Shannon looked like by far the best NBA prospect on the court tonight because Coleman Hawkins wasn't all that good, but man, just how he gets downhill, how he can get to the free throw line, how he impacts every level of the game, every way of the game. Defensively, he's such a pest and gets into passing lanes. He's a good rebounder. But what I'm most struck by about Terrence Shannon, Derek, is I kind of thought of him as a 3-and-D guy at Texas Tech. Now, he's got to play better opponents, and that's what I can't wait for this weekend. But the way Illinois is using him in ball screens and how he's creating and distributing tonight, I thought he was great finding people and then just getting downhill and attacking and getting to the free throw line and all of that. Like, he's a more dynamic playmaker than I think he ever showed at Texas Tech.
Yeah, he definitely is. I mean, what's not to like right now in terms of what he brings to the table at both ends of the floor? He's a really good defender in transition. We knew he was a problem. He's one of the most explosive guards out there. And when he gets downhill, I mean, his physicality, his explosiveness, and now what we're seeing, I didn't know he was this fast. Like, end to end, I asked Brad Underwood tonight, who's faster, him or Adesumu? Brad gave the political correct answer and said, you know, they're both equally as fast. Didn't want to make either one of those mad, but to put him in that category, we know Io end to end was one of the best that we've seen here.
And Shannon's as big as Io is now. Like, right. Io's jacked now, but Shannon's already that big.
Yeah, to see someone that physically strong be as fast as he is says a lot about his athleticism. And then, to your point, ball screen operating as a facilitator at Texas Tech, he had minimal experience, but in that usage of Texas Tech, his efficiency numbers were really bad. He had turnovers. He got sped up off the dribble. I know that Tim really worked with him this offseason on seeing the floor better, on having the game slow down. And I think, I mean, as you mentioned, he's going to have to do it against some higher-level opponents who are going to really be dialed in on him, trying to take away his driving lanes as much as possible. But I think his vision is really impressive. He's seeing the corners when those guys start to cheat into the lane. He's hitting those guys. And then I just think that he can score in every way imaginable. He can get to the rim. He can get fouled. He's shown a little bit of the pull-up jumper. And then he can shoot from three, too. So with you got an NBA GM in the house, he looks as good as you could – hope for is someone that, you know, has been projected maybe in the second round. Nuggets maybe late second round?
I mean, he looks more than like a late second rounder to me. I mean, this is early again. We got to see it against better opponents, but we know where the league's going. It's a bunch of big wings, and if you can defend and you can shoot and you can attack the basket and transition, like, they're going to want you. They're going to find a spot for you. So Terrence Shannon, better than advertised, I think, so far. Again, we keep using the qualifier. We'll see it against better opponents, but he just looks like an absolute beast so far. And we know what he did against Kansas in the scrimmage. Went off and I think he had, 18 free throws, 20 free throws, something like that, Brett Underwood said. So he is a star. He is the dude on this team. I think the last couple games, Derek, one of the most encouraging things has been Sky Clark and Jaden Epps did not have a great debut. But the last two games, these guys have really found their role on this team. And for Sky Clark, it's not scoring a lot, but he's just savvy. He plays like a third-year starting point guard at times. He's got the big body, uses it really well. But Monmouth was terrible in drop coverage tonight, guarding ball screens, and he attacked that. A couple beautiful passes to Dane Danger. But he had 6 assists to 2 turnovers tonight. I think he's got 17 – or he's got was it 7 assists to a couple turnovers the last couple games, and just really efficient offensively. Only took 2 shots. I think at some point you're going to want to see Sky have a little more confidence in his own shot, but he's not forcing. He's been great, distributing to everybody else. And then Jaden Epps, man, you said he's a bucket. This guy's been a bucket at the Division I level the last two games with, 37 points on 12 of 21 shooting the last two games. That's it's translating to this level so far.
Yeah, I'd say so. Jaden Epps looks really comfortable, especially both of those guys in comparison to night one against EIU. We know Sky had 5 turnovers that night. Jaden just looked a little tentative, passing up a 3-pointer that made Brad mad late in that game, and now he hits 5 tonight. And Brad's playing him more off the ball, and I know that he's someone that can play on it and take that lead guard role at times, but he's just more comfortable when he's dialed in as a scorer and a defender. And I think with his quickness, he's someone that they've thought throughout this offseason leading up to the season could be a pretty good on-ball defender to the way he moves. So bringing energy at both ends of the floor, scoring it really, really well, and similar to a Trent Frazier, probably more of a scorer than a point guard coming in, but the early indications just let him do what he's best at, which is getting buckets, and he's doing that. And Sky, well, you mentioned the drop coverage was pretty terrible, but just to have that work for him to see the floor, make the delivery to Dane, rack up 6 assists, I think just increased confidence is about as much as you could ask for out of this game. So Sky mentioned over the weekend when we met with him before the game that he's still trying to figure out what his role is and see it all play out. Tonight's another opportunity for him to really understand that ball in his hands, he can facilitate. And then off the ball, he's a guy that can make an open 3. Yeah. He's made a handful of those here in the first couple of games as well. So encouraging signs for Sky. And you just want those guys feeling good and confident going into Vegas. And obviously you're going to see Tiger Campbell and some good guards out there. Yeah. But this was a good one to get positive momentum from.
Yeah, Clark during the last two games, 17 points, 8 assists, 3 turnovers. Kind of a little bit Tiger-like, right? Like with how his poise is and got the hair as well. RJ Melendez, I think, has been really solid as a role player the last couple games, Derek. Scoring, had 9 points tonight, hit 1 of his 3 threes. I think he's really been getting after it defensively. And one of the guys I think has done as good as anybody of crashing the glass from the wing. He had 4 defensive rebounds tonight. So I like what I've seen out of him. And Dane Danger, man, continues to dominate this lower level of competition, which, again, let's see how this translates offensively, especially to the next level. But 2 more blocks tonight, 2 steals tonight for Dane Danger. I think his start's been really encouraging, Derek, that you feel like, Coleman – struggles or gets in foul trouble, you have another good option you can go to in the post. You can play him with all these other guys, whether it's Matthew Meyer or Coleman Hawkins or whoever it is. It's been as good of a start as you could want from Terrence Shannon and Dane Danger.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. With Dane tonight, still scoring it really well, again, against teams that don't have the size to really block his shot and make those attempts around the rim as tough as possible, but still showing his skill. Like, his rip drives from the free throw line, that's something that's impressive for a guy that's 6'9" and 265. And his energy, too. He didn't have as many rebounds tonight, but the fact that he's blocking shots, getting steals, he's really engaged and bringing energy in that front court off the bench. So, like you were saying, the way he pairs well with these guys, they're finding him well and getting that chemistry up in terms of feeding the post. And you can play Coleman with him, too. So we've seen that, not as much tonight, but we've seen that here throughout the first week or so of the season, too. So Terrence has been fantastic. So rating the Big 12. Very lucrative and profitable so far. We will talk about the other guy from the Big 12 that still hasn't quite clicked, but Dane's been good, and I agree. RJ just, again, energy-wise, engaged defensively, long arms, and scoring it. He can score a little bit better than he has so far, but you'll take, 9 points, 5 rebounds, and some active defensive numbers too.
We'll take some of your questions, comments coming up on the YouTube Live. Appreciate you guys joining us here late at night. We will have plenty of those in Vegas coming up here. Ty Rogers, this is the Ty Rogers special. I think I told you, if I had to predict a Ty Rogers game, stat line this season, it'd be 3-5-3. He had 3-5-2 tonight. So, what was it, 4 points, 5 rebounds, and 2 assists for Ty Rogers. Pretty good defensively. He gets after it on the offensive glass. That's going to get him on the floor a lot. Sincere Harris, man, he's showing more shooting than we expected. Again, the competition level, but I saw him in pregame, and I told Wagner, I said, he's got a solid stroke there. Like, I think he's got a pretty good rhythm there. Hits 2 of 3 from a 3 tonight. So good signs from those guys. I mean, you're seeing a freshman class, Derek, that can be really good, and I think they've gained some confidence these last 2 games.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And Ty just looks like a grown man out there.
And him and Sky both just play. And Jaden, really, they just play at a veteran savviness so far.
Right. Guys that have strength and then guys that have a maturity about them and their approach to the game and mentality. And, yeah, for Ty to be that well-rounded is not surprising to me. I'd like to see him still be a little bit more aggressive as a scorer. Not saying he's got to shoot a ton of jump shots, but someone that is just can bully his way to the basket, can finish through contact. I'd like to see him get back to the free throw line. I know that wasn't a good showing here. It was at the EIU game or UMKC. I think it was EIU when he was 1 for 6 at the free throw line. But he's got the ability to get to the line at that pretty good frequency because he is so skilled and physical. And we know he's going to be a really good defender. And I think I'm excited to see how he defends some of these really talented scorers at Baylor too. And, I mean, Sincere Harris to be a spot-up shooter, because he's a guy that you put him on the floor, there's others going to draw so much attention. That guy's probably leaving Sincere, but with the way he's shooting it right now is impressive. And someone that over the offseason you heard, wasn't shooting it the greatest, but we heard the same thing about RJ Melendez, and he shot the three pretty well as a freshman. So if Sincere is following in those footsteps, which he is early on, it's a good indication.
Yeah, if he can be over 30% as a true freshman, I think that'd be a really good thing for him. All right, Matthew Meyer, not a great night. 1 of 5 shooting, 3 rebounds, 3 points. Did have 2 assists. 2 assists in the first minute of the game. I thought he was better defensively, Derek. Again, he didn't have to guard much tonight, but 1 steal on that end. The one thing I liked about Matthew Meyer, and he's laughing at me because I was making a big deal out of it, there were so many times he wanted to go ISO, put up his shot by himself, like do some and one stuff. He stopped himself. He moved the ball. He only did it once. He had 1 bad ISO shot tonight. Otherwise, he was moving the ball. I thought he got good looks offensively, took good shots otherwise, other than that one. But he just only made 1 of them. So for me, Derek, that was a step forward for Matthew Meyer. Listen, it's been a rough start for him finding his role on this team. It's clear Terrence Shannon knows his role. I think Jaden Epps and Sky Clark know their role. Dane Danger knows their role. Matthew Meyer is still trying to figure that out. But as you and I have talked about, like, they're going to need him at some point, and it could be this weekend. And I don't think Matthew Meyer is going to be afraid of those moments. I think he's going to thrive against some big-time opponents because he's been there. He's done that. A lot of these other guys haven't.
Yeah, I think that, one, I love the fact that Brad went to him on the first possession, ran him off the screen, got him in a post up. They came over knowing that he had a size advantage, and he hit Terrence in the corner for a three. That was a really good pass, and one where he's been playing a little bit of hero ball. He's been trying to get his own, trying to get himself going, and that was a moment, and he had a couple other ones where he had the awareness and the unselfishness to see the guy that was open, have the game just slow down a little bit, and make that pass. There was a couple times too where he like dribbled into a step back, and he has taken some of those shots, and Brad has been pretty upset about those because they're tough long threes off the dribble and
stuff we saw a lot of Baylor last year.
Yeah, and he has the ability to make hard shots. Like he has the ability to just pull up in transition or just sidestep a dribble, create some space, and make those threes. But so far, we know his shot hasn't been going, and I like the shot fake. And there was one time where he shot faked it, gave it up, got it back a few seconds later, and it was a wide-open top-of-the-key three that he buried his one made shot tonight. I think that overall, one thing I've expected, and again, it's you're taking into account the physicality part of it, where coming off the back, I thought he'd be able to do more off the dribble. I thought he'd be able to blow by some guys and put some pressure off the bounce, but he just hasn't been able to get by his defender. I think that plays at the defensive end too, where when he gets attacked, people are getting angles on him, getting downhill on him, and he's fouled, and that's been an issue. I know he had two fouls in the first half yet again, where he had to go sit for a while. Is he capable of going off on UCLA? Absolutely. Could he put up 18 and it's been something that's within his pedigree? Absolutely. Has he shown any indication in an Illinois jersey that he's going to do that? No. But I think that, yeah, I wish that he would have had a little bit more tonight and a little bit more positive momentum going into Vegas. But I think that Illinois will need him to be pretty good unless Dane's going to go crazy still. Can Terrence just completely carry you? Can Coleman get going? Yeah, but I'd be surprised if Matt doesn't take a step forward out there, and if you're satisfied with your results out there.
All right, let's bring up Coleman Hawkins. Not a very good night for him. 1 of 5 shooting. I thought he was really good moving the ball. He's really good at that. Sometimes I want Coleman to shoot the ball. He passed up a couple open looks tonight. That's not going to concern me too long. 5 rebounds in 17 minutes tonight, but 5 turnovers. Also had how many fouls do you have? 2 fouls in the first half. I did like that Brad Underwood got him back into the game because he's just so important to what they do defensively. And then he's as good of a passer on this team as anybody. He had 3 assists tonight. But just kind of got without himself. And Brad got really frustrated with him and got in his face a little bit. So it's going to be interesting to see how Coleman responds to that. But, I think Coleman Hawkins is one of the best players in this team. Maybe just a down game, Derek. But it's nice that you have other options that can really step up. That's the same thing with Matthew Meyer. You got 2 guys that struggle a little bit. You still got Dangy. You still got Epps who can score. I think RJ Melendez is going to have a big offensive game at some point and hit a bunch of threes. So that's a nice thing about having this depth and this talent is you have other guys who can step up kind of as main scorers.
Yeah, it's back-to-back. Andrew Coleman's gone to the bench, 2 fouls and no points. But it hasn't hurt you a ton because you've had other guys being able to make up for that. But he just seemed a little sped up and out of sorts. And as frustrations kind of compounded, he just wasn't able to reel it back in. And I know that Brad was on him on the bench, like you said, when he was out. I don't know everything that was necessarily about, but I just think that, yeah, he wasn't able to get himself out of a funk. And early foul trouble kind of put him in that. But, I mean, he was still pretty active for the most part with, 6 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. But he did the turnovers were a problem. And he just kind of he turned down some looks and just kind of played off kilter. And we've seen Coleman play a lot better. I think he will. But that was one. I know that the first thought in my head, you have an NBA GM in here tonight, and he's your highest graded draft pick, at least, or projected at least right now. And that was the night he would like to make up for.
I don't disagree with you. All right, can I make up a new term? The Leib.
The Leib.
Foul out in under 10 minutes. That's what Brandon Leib did tonight.
Man.
8 minutes. Just want to shout that out. Maybe that's a new term
that
we can have.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, everyone. It's Mike Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.
All right, Derek, let's talk about what is coming up, because that's more important than really anything that happened tonight. You get a top 10 matchup against UCLA in Las Vegas on Friday night in one of the best, most marquee events of the whole college basketball season, with the main event out in Vegas at T-Mobile Arena. You and I will be there. Can't wait for it. And then Illinois plays either Baylor or Virginia, two other ranked opponents. Baylor, of course, number 5 in the country. But let's talk about UCLA, a very talented team. Jaime Jaquez, still there. Tiger Campbell, still there. Amari Bailey, 5-star freshman. Adem Kona, a 5-star freshman. This is where it gets real, and I'm so excited. I think so many other fans are eager to see what this Illinois team has, because I think we've seen the flashes of, boy, this is the most talented team for Illinois had in a long time. When you just raw talent, it's inexperienced. How cohesive is it already? How much do these guys know their roles? There's a UCLA team that's clearly farther along than that. It's had stars that have played on the Final Four team 2 years ago, and Amari Bailey, who might be a lottery pick. But this is going to be fun, man. So, like, what are you most looking forward to just seeing them Friday night against UCLA?
Terrence Shannon against Jaime Jaquez. High-level, All-American in the conversation type of players. I know that the Almanac by Field of 68 had Jaime Jaquez as a first-team All-American going into the year, and Terrence is a first-team All-League type of guy in the Big Ten. And, I mean, based on what he's shown right now, he's going to be at least in the conversation. I mean, Brad mentioned tonight that Terrence can be as accomplished as Iowa was as a player here. We know what Iowa was able to do, but that's a big-time, big-time matchup. And I think on paper, Illinois has about as much talent as UCLA does. You just have more cohesive ness with UCLA. There's some older guys. When you throw in Tiger Campbell's made like 100 starts for UCLA at point guard versus what Illinois has at point guard with the inexperienced, albeit some very good talent. You throw in Jaquez. Jalen Clark is now an upperclassman, projected as one of the breakout candidates in the Pac-12. A really good two-way guy. Kind of reminds me, he's a little bit like a junior version of Ty Rogers. And then you mentioned him with Bailey and the big man. Those are two McDonald's All-Americans. So they're uber talented. Can Illinois with, I mean, Shannon, Meyer, Coleman Hawkins, RJ, and then their freshmen, what they're doing. I think Illinois on paper looks as good as that, but can they be consistent enough with their offensive execution? They're going to get really tested defensively with their switching and just the threats that UCLA is going to pose. But it's going to be high-level basketball, and just I think that Illinois will need some of these guys to step up and a game for freshmen that they haven't seen, and for someone like Meyer that's not had it going yet. There's potential for it to go wrong for Illinois, but there's also, if it clicks, that they can definitely knock off a top 10 team too.
That's what's so exciting about this, right? Like, we don't know, the variance of this team feels so big that I can see them losing double digits to UCLA. I can also see them beating UCLA. I can see them beating any team that goes out there and plays. I mean, Baylor's really freaking good with one of the best freshmen in the country in Keyonte George, but Illinois's got talent, man, and they can really disrupt people defensively. We've seen the full court pressure. I think that's what, you know, they can do things defensively to UCLA that not a lot of teams that UCLA is going to play this year can do. And what really can help you once you get to the NCAA tournament, Derek, offensively, I'm really interested to see how they do if taking care of the ball. 18 turnovers tonight, got sloppy. I know once you get a lead like that, it can kind of get away from you, but those are the things Illinois has got to clean up, because you give 18 turnovers to UCLA or to Baylor or even Virginia, and they're going to really make you pay for it. So I'm excited to see how Sky Clark and Jaden Epps handle the moment, playing against a guy like Tiger Campbell, who's really gets after you defensively, is such a smart point guard. I mean, how long has he been there? His fourth year here. Like, he's really, really good. And I think you're going to need a guy like RJ Melendez, who's played in some big moments, you know, played in the NCAA tournament game, played well there. I think you're going to need him to step up too. But that's what's fun. We get to find out what this team is made of.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's about time to put this team to the test, and that's what you want, is to see if you're in the realm of a top 10 caliber team and to get a chance to get for two games where Virginia's in that top 15 type of range, and Baylor, as we know, is a top five team, and they're off and running. I know they haven't really played anybody, but they're bombing away from three, and they're hitting the offensive glass as well as Scott Drew teams usually do. They're tough. They're versatile. But I think that in terms of like Baylor or just UCLA with their athleticism, for Illinois to have comparable length athleticism now versus years past, like on the perimeter or we really go one through five, I think that Illinois will have to, while their offense will still probably be up and down, if their defense can be as good as it can be and be imposing and switch effectively, and if they're dialed in at that end, then I think they can hang and give some teams some problems, just as Baylor did to Illinois a handful of years ago too. So, and I can't rule out Virginia either. Now, when they put 90 on Monmouth, I was like, oh boy, 90 on Monmouth. Well, Illinois dropped 103, and apparently scoring on Monmouth isn't too hard. So, but they brought everybody back, and then got Vanderplas from Ohio, who we're familiar with. Isaac McNeely's a really talented freshman coming in. So Virginia's a deep team. We know they play really good defense, and they got some shooters too.
My only concern, if you're an Illinois fan, is these early tests have not gone very well under Brad Underwood. Yeah. You think back to last year. Now, Kofi Coburn was out, but the Marquette game was really bad. Cincinnati was even worse in the biggest tournament than Arizona. What a phenomenal game that was, and obviously not a bad loss, but missed opportunity. Baylor, a couple years ago, you lose by 13. Duke, you came back and won that game. Arizona 2 years ago when you went out there, right? Like, some of these haven't gone very well. So I'm just really interested to see how this team, a new team, kind of gets really ready for this. And Derek, this won't determine the season, but this would be huge for your resume. Mm-hmm. It only helps your resume playing these kind of opponents. But if you can get one or two of these games, clearly this would be – if they come out of this winning it, we're talking about this team completely differently. They're a top 10 team, maybe Big Ten favorite coming out of this event. If they go 1-1, they might rise in the rankings next week because it's a big win. If they go 1-2, might fall out of the rankings. But either way, this is good for the team because they're going to learn something from this.
Right. And the trend is either is a little alarming with the Underwood teams early on, and this one more than any seems like they'd be set up for a tough one or two or three in the non-conference. But maybe that will work the other way, because there have been some of those teams that took those lumps that you thought, oh, well, they're an older team. They played together a lot. They shouldn't do that. And maybe this one will surprise and win a game. I think on the outside, a lot of people are probably going to expect. Now, this was a nice showing for Illinois momentum-wise to be rolling into Vegas. Most people are going to be expecting UCLA to win that game. If not, I'm not going to say comfortably, but yeah, there's going to be a significant edge in terms of the perception for UCLA. Yeah,
KenPom has UCLA as a 4-point favorite right now.
Yeah. But, yeah, there's a lot to gain regardless, a lot to learn about yourself. Great in terms of experience for these freshmen to know what that looks like. I mean, it won't be too long. They'll be going out to New York to face Texas. Before that, you're going on the road for your first Big Ten road game at Maryland. And to get these tests rolling and to see what you can learn about yourself is a big value. And, yeah, from the resume standpoint, these are huge, you know, marquee type of wins if you can come away with one. And I think that Illinois is capable of it. I think if things go wrong, it could be an 0-2. But that's kind of what's fascinating about it. That's what's really exciting to see how it plays out.
All right, Eric says, give the people what they want. We want Daddy Pipes and Wags in Vegas unsupervised. Unfortunately, Wags won't be there. I will be there. So, yeah, we're going to have a good time. Saturday, we got a spot picked out. Brett Barons, Scott Ritchie, and us. We're going to go watch some college football, I think, at 9 in the morning out there. And go check out Illinois, Michigan, and have ourselves a day. And and take in the whole Vegas experience here, Daddy Pipes.
That is an accurate description, yes. 9 a.m. on Saturday is going to be interesting. We're going to have to get the writing done and hit the pillows. But, yeah, it's going to be a ton of fun. I can't wait to get out there. And we'll make our rounds, you know, have some beers.
Yeah, shout us out. If you see us, stop by, say hi. I don't know if we're going to give out where we're going to be on Saturday, but we're going to have a good time. Coy said, needs to be a Matt Meyer conversation, and we see a lot of people – I've talked about why is Matt Meyer starting. I don't think that needs to change yet. Like, Dane Danger's been great off the bench. Jaden Epps and Ty Rogers have been really great off the bench. At some point, you might need to make that move for Matt, maybe to see the game differently, all of that. Listen, I get it. He's not playing well. Guys off the bench are playing well. Let's talk about that after Vegas, probably, is where I'm at.
Yeah, personally for me, I think it's too early. I love the trio, especially the way they're rolling right now.
And Brad loves guys being able to count on guys off the bench.
Yeah, Dane, Epps, and Rogers as your easy three guys in after the first media timeout. And that second unit has an identity now, and those guys are rolling. I wouldn't want to mess with that too much. And then I know that you can't go forever with Matt if this continues, if he is in a funk. And maybe sometimes we've seen guys get plugged, you know, out of the starting lineup, come off the bench. It's a new look for them, motivating factor for them that they can get some things going. But I don't know that'd be great for his confidence right now to do that early. And I'd do it against a team that's a real test too. And I know that's something they're kind of waiting to see if Matt's going to really turn it on when that happens. I know it's kind of frustrating what's happened so far, but again, it's a guy that missed a significant chunk of time over the off season, and I wouldn't push that button quite yet.
I had somebody say no elite big men that they're going up against during the out of conference play, and I'm just, you know, there's some talented ones. UCLA obviously with their five-star freshman. Does Texas have any? Like, there's not the Zach Edey, there's not the Hunter Dickinson that they're going up against, that's for sure. And that might tell you something, because these are pretty good teams. Texas has, you know, had some pretty talented teams. They're number two in the KenPom right now. There's not all of those, and that's partly why Brad Underwood built his team like this, is because what he sees working in the NCAA tournament is different than what he's had the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, for UCLA to have a McDonald's All-American five man, I mean, that's a pretty good test, I'd say, at the five. It's not a seven-footer. It's not someone that's going to be so physically imposing to Coleman. I think it's going to be a really interesting dynamic of those two against each other, because Bona's an elite athlete and one that can really rim run. But, I mean, that's kind of a fit in terms of what Coleman does, stretching the floor and everything. But you'd hope that Coleman's experience and also trying to pull him away from the basket will make him uncomfortable. Texas would have a big man if Trey Mitchell could stay anywhere for a couple months at a time without transferring again. He's now at West Virginia. Shout out to him and his dad with the nice suits. I agree. It's part of the movement in college basketball. You see it around. I mean, if you would have matched up against Gonzaga, you'd obviously see a really good center there. Kentucky with Shibwe. There are good big men out there. But in terms of who you're about to face in the non-con, yeah, there's not one other than the one at UCLA that you're necessarily scared of. I mean, Baylor still has Flo Thamba.
Still there.
Who doesn't do a whole lot statistically.
Did he take an official visit here?
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
Mac Etienne at UCLA.
Yeah, some familiar names for sure.
Familiar names. We'll get to see those guys out in Vegas. It's going to be a great event. I'm hoping Illinois plays Baylor second game. That'd be another fantastic thing to see. But I want to go see Keyonte George in person, whether it's the night we cover the same game, the same place. Like, I'm really interested to see all these talented teams. That's going to do it for us tonight here on the Illini Inquirer podcast. Thanks for checking us out on the YouTube Live. Give us a like on that video, share it, and give us a follow wherever you get your podcast. Give us a rating review. We appreciate when you guys do that. Have fun this week. If you're going out to Vegas, have fun, man. We'll see you at the games. Hit us up. Come say hi. But everybody, take care of each other. Have a great night. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Bye, everybody. Bye, everybody.
New CBS Monday.
Federal agents!
Here's where we can see them.
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it up.
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violent Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10/9 Central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.